mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, honoring the service and sacrifice of those who protect our community with the local observance of National Police Week and Peace Officer Memorial Day. Also this morning, it's the one thing house hunters want to know this spring. Should I buy now or wait until mortgage rates start to come down? President of the Ohio Association of Realtors discusses the National Association's first quarter home prices report and the latest trends in the real estate industry. And as the school year comes to a close, the Hancock County OSU Extension 4-H program is busy preparing for summer camps and more. Lauren Berner-Kitzler will be here to tell us what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Monday, May 13th, 2024. Cedar Point is open for the season, and of course, the big new attraction this year is the revamped Top Thrill roller coaster. The Top Thrill 2 is anticipating huge crowds, a lot of people really excited about this reimagining of the former Top Thrill dragster, which was shut down for more than a year. There was that big accident. The woman got seriously injured. You know the story. And one of the big knocks on the old Top Thrill coaster was that it was constantly down for one reason or another. And it was constantly closed. And it was kind of a crapshoot. You'd go to Cedar Point. Maybe it'd be open. Maybe it wouldn't. And so the revamped Top Thrill 2 is supposed to fix all of those problems. Well, guess what? Over the weekend, they shut it down. Park operators announced that the ride has been closed for mechanical modifications. It was open for a grand total of 8 days, and now they've got to make mechanical modifications. The company that made the ride, or reinvented, reimagined the ride, along with park maintenance staff and an independent inspector, will look over the modifications before the roller coaster reopens, according to an announcement from Cedar Point. No word on how long all of that will take. So, the big attraction that was supposed to fix Top Thrill, and it's shut down again. In any event, what else is going on in the world? Speaking of amusement parks, this was kind of interesting. In southern Ohio, the now-closed Coney Island theme park in Cincinnati was set to demolish all of its rides, all of its swimming pools, and, you know, all of that. There's water park and everything. But they put items up for sale from the park, and one fan and former employee decided to purchase an entire water slide. And we're not just talking about a pool slide here. This is a big, huge water slide that this guy, Adam Walterman, decided to buy. It's a big, huge water slide. Not the sort of thing you would have in your backyard pool, to be sure. Apparently, he worked at the park for 5 seasons, and it was very emotional when the park shut down. So he says, I went on Facebook and saw a post that the business was selling all of the Coney slides and all of the pool equipment. And I looked at it and thought, why not? The Silver Bullet slide was actually built in 1945. So it's been there for generations. And they asked, what are you going to do with it? I mean, this is a huge slide. He said, I would love to see it in use again, but I have no immediate plans. So, can you imagine trying to explain that to your wife? You come home. Hey, honey, guess what I bought? Oh, my. Let's see. What else is making headlines here? We're coming toward the end of another school year, and so it seems to me that maybe we should have gotten this list much, much earlier because kids are almost out of school, but maybe it's something to hope for next year. According to a healthcare company, ProCare Therapy, they crunched the data to find out which schools have the healthiest lunches in the nation. School lunches. Which state has the healthiest school lunches? At the bottom of the list, Louisiana. This is like, didn't last week we had Louisiana was at the bottom of another list. Now off the top of my head, I don't remember what it was, but Louisiana was at the bottom of that list too. Not a whole lot of love for Louisiana lately. Louisiana schools have the most unhealthy lunches in the nation. Fried chicken being the most popular lunch item in the state of Louisiana. The analysis factored in how many fresh fruits and vegetables children were given from kindergarten all the way through high school. Louisiana at the bottom of the list, Idaho and Wyoming also ranked very low. At the top of the list, Massachusetts, the healthiest school lunches in the nation. Pizza is the dish that students most enjoy, the most popular food item in Massachusetts. Hawaii has the nation's largest farm-to-school program participation, which is where schools purchase locally sourced fresh fruits, vegetables, and so on. It's the farm-to-school program. Hawaii with the nation's largest participation in that program, which is probably not surprising given, you know, they're out there in the middle of the ocean. Certainly is much less expensive to source their school lunch staples from local farmers rather than bringing them in from the mainland. But in any event, that participation in that program helps their students access fresh produce. So they're right up there near the top of the list as well. And in case you're wondering, Ohio was ranked 32nd overall. So we could stand to improve a bit. 32nd overall, and the most popular lunch item in Ohio schools, Bosco sticks. Bosco sticks. So I know my kids, when they were in school, always look forward to the Bosco sticks. That's something when I was in school we didn't have. I'm not even sure that I know what a Bosco stick is, but it is number one in popularity in Ohio schools, apparently. And by the way, speaking of schools, we're graduation season. Did you happen to catch this? Thomas Jefferson University in Philadelphia had a rather embarrassing moment, their commencement exercises. The presenter announcing the names of the graduates basically botched almost every single one of them, including some very easy names. The person who's handing out the diplomas or announcing the names basically botched them all. The ceremony on May 9th has gone viral online. Video of the ceremony has gone viral as the presenter butchers the name pronunciations beyond recognition. Thomas Jefferson University later issued a statement with its sincerest apologies for the mispronunciations. The school blamed the mistakes on the way the phonetic spellings were presented on the speaker's cards, adding that the presenter had apologized at the graduation ceremony itself, although I guess that didn't make it onto the viral video. The university in a statement says, quote, "This unfortunate error does not reflect the immense respect we have for our graduates and the value we place on their hard-earned accomplishments," unquote. We just can't be bothered to get the names right. That's that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. And I will fully admit, I mispronounce names on occasion myself, but some of these were like really easy, and they were botched anyway. If you haven't seen the video, you can go online. It is rather humorous and sad all at the same time. And finally, among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Yesterday, of course, was Mother's Day. Did you get something nice for your mom? If you spent big this year, you are not alone. The National Retail Federation estimates that sons and daughters spent an estimated $33 billion on mom this past weekend between outings and presents. All of that $33 billion, just short of the $35 billion that was spent on mom last year. It says the most money spent on jewelry and flowers, as well as taking mom out for Sunday brunch or dinner. So, If you celebrated mom, good for you. $33 billion spent on mom this year. And yes, that is more than sons and daughters spend on dad. But then again, I mean, if we're being totally honest, it's probably the right move. Spend more on mom than dad. I hate to admit it, but it's probably, as a dad, I hate to admit it, but it's probably for the best, well-deserved. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Monday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, partly cloudy today with a high around 80, showers possible tonight, a low around 60. The Fostoria Police Department says it's received a large number of complaints about juveniles misusing water bead guns. The complaints range from kids shooting citizens and injuring them to juveniles shooting and damaging personal property. The police department says many times the water pellets are frozen to increase the damage from the projectile. The police department is asking parents to step in and monitor the use of the water bead guns by their kids. Anyone found misusing a water bead gun in public will be subject to having the gun confiscated and or possible criminal charges. Get more details in this story on our website. Ohio has seen an unprecedented number of tornadoes already this year, more than 50, and that number will only increase this spring and summer.
Since the 90s, Ohio's average number of tornadoes has almost doubled, and this year alone we've seen more in the spring than in any other year on record. For tornadoes to form, the atmosphere needs to be warm and humid. Conditions becoming increasingly common because of climate change. We're likely to see severe storms this summer, and families should be prepared.
ONAD meteorologist Madison Reich reporting. During his State of the State address, the governor announced the creation of the Children's Vision Strike Force in Ohio.
While the strike force is still being formed, the goal is to address the gap between children getting an eye exam by their schools and getting follow-up care. It'll help remedy an issue that impacts so many students here in Ohio. The Ohio Optometric Foundation is working in conjunction with Ohio Children's Vision Strike Force. They say most of what students learn is learned through their eyes.
WTOL 11's Melissa Andrews reporting. For a 42nd time, Findlay has been recognized by the Arbor Day Foundation as a Tree City USA. The title of Tree City USA was bestowed upon Findlay again for its ongoing efforts to maintain and improve quality of life through a comprehensive tree management program. Get more details in the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
So our cover story this morning, it is National Police Week, honoring the service and sacrifice of those who protect our community with a local observance and a local Peace Officer Memorial Day service as well. Brian White is with us from the Findlay Police Department and also President of the Fort Findlay FOP, Lodge 20.
That's correct. So, thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Thanks very much for being with us. And, of course, thank you for your service. This is such an important thing, I know, for police officers this week. It's important to recognize, you know, all the time, but especially this week when you're very cognizant of that sacrifice part.
Sure. It kind of takes two sides. One, we want to talk about honoring those who are currently serving, right? Mm-hmm. So it's good for that reason.
Yeah.
But it's also a very solemn occasion because we are honoring those that unfortunately have passed away in the line of duty and given the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah. One is in the news just today in Euclid. Lost an officer over the weekend as part of a domestic incident. And I'm not sure exactly the whole story, but, you know, these things are tragically seems like they're becoming more common.
Sure. We don't know all the details on what happened up in Euclid yet. However, what we do know is that it was probably an ambush-style attack.
Yeah.
And those have actually been on the increase for some time now. As a matter of fact, for just this year, there have been 26 ambush-style attacks, according to the FOP.
Wow.
And that's quite a bit. That's an attack where the officer has no warning. Mm-hmm. Essentially, it's set up maybe ahead of time, maybe not. But when the officer arrives, they're just greeted with gunfire.
it just emphasizes the fact that you never know when you get that call what you could be walking into.
Absolutely. And domestic disturbances are always at top of our list as unpredictable because we just don't know what we're going into. Mm-hmm. So our awareness is usually heightened at that point anyways. But when you have someone hiding in off to the side with a firearm taking shots at you, that's a little tough to kind of defend against.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about the local observance. I know the Peace Officer Memorial Day service actually, is that tonight?
So our service is tonight. We always do it on the Monday of Police Week. Yeah, but back in 1962, President John F. Kennedy proclaimed May 15th as National Peace Officers Memorial Day. And then the week that leads that up to it is National Police Week, where they celebrate in Washington, D.C. with a multitude of different events.
Mm-hmm. So at the event this evening, you're going to honor those locally who have given
absolutely
their lives.
Yeah, here in Hancock County, we have 10 fallen officers, so they will be essentially the essence, the point of tonight's event to remember them. Because when we talk about officers that are no longer with us, the best way we can honor them is by honoring their memory. Mm-hmm. A hero remembered is a hero not forgotten.
Mm-hmm. It also serves as a reminder of just how difficult this job is on just an everyday basis. Certainly those who give the ultimate sacrifice are remembered, but everyone sacrifices in this job.
Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely. When we look at law enforcement, it can be a difficult profession because we're talking about shift work. We're talking about odd hours. It's stressful on the family. There's many times where we might be in public with our family off duty and we run into someone that maybe we have arrested, and that kind of creates an awkward situation.
Right.
So there's many different ways that we talk about sacrificing for the community, and that's just one of them.
You also tend to see people at their worst, and that has to have an ongoing effect.
Correct. And that's why I encourage anyone to come out to this event, because most of the time officers are probably interacting with 6-7% of the population that's causing 80-90% of the problems, right? Yeah. So it can be very, it can wear on you.
And even those other interactions where it's simply a traffic stop, generally people are not too happy to see you in those situations.
No one is happy to see those red and blue lights in the rearview mirror. Yeah. And in general, when we're talking about someone getting a ticket, getting arrested, or even just sometimes just the advice that we have to give, people are not necessarily happy about.
Yeah.
So in many ways, it's kind of a confrontational situation and not good for, and sometimes public or us, right? Mm-hmm. So when we talk about events like this, this allows a time for people to kind of get together in a friendly environment to kind of exchange stories and share information.
And again, show that appreciation that all too often we don't show in those regular interactions.
Sure,
that you don't get.
Now, that being said, you know, this really is a great community. Findlay is a great community. There's been several times on a traffic stop where I've issued a ticket in the past, and at the end, someone says, thank you. Thank you for doing your job. Thank you for reminding me to slow down. And that's very heartwhelming.
But it does, it emphasizes the fact that while mental health and issues of mental health have certainly been very much front and center since the pandemic, especially, and we talk about it for everyone, especially for law enforcement, there has been, I know, a real emphasis being put on that aspect of officers' health and wellness in recent years.
Sure, and that's tough in law enforcement because we are expected to be the ones that people turn to, right? We are the ones that we are there to help people. We're not necessarily there to get help ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it can be tough on us as well as just like anyone else with mental illness experiences, stigma. There's always stigma attached to it. So it's always a concern, but we are in a profession where we are subjected to vicarious trauma all the time. Mm-hmm. And yes, that does wear on officers. And fortunately, there are a lot of resources for officers and law enforcement to get help they need and some time off, a day here, go fishing, spend mm-hmm. some time with family.
More so now than maybe a generation or two
ago. Definitely.
We have recognized that more and more as being such an important part.
Yeah, absolutely. Just over the last decade, things have advanced quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But I'd say in the last 20 years, we've constantly been making strides as mm-hmm. far as mental health and law enforcement.
So a week this week to recognize the service and sacrifice of those who are out there at all hours of the day and night to keep the community safe. The you know, obviously, for all of the challenges, it's got to be a tremendously rewarding profession.
It is, especially when we have that opportunity to help someone. That's always why I tell kids why entered this line of work was mm-hmm. to help people, mm-hmm. even if it's as simple as helping someone put a chain on a bicycle, right? A little kid on the side of the road. That's very rewarding, and that's mm-hmm. really what this job is about.
Yeah. The memorial service is this evening. Give us all of the details.
Yeah, absolutely. So the service will be tonight. Starts at 6 p.m. at the Fraternal Order of Police Lodge 20 on Romick Parkway. You can expect refreshments at the end of the event. We have several different activities along the way, not necessarily activities, but speakers. Mm-hmm. Our guest speaker for tonight is Vaughn Akers, who is the wife of fallen officer Doug Akers. Officer Akers died on December 31st, 2018, and left behind a legacy of service and dedication to his community. Now, Mrs. Akers now resides in the Tennessee area, but she used to reside here in Findlay for 28 years, and she'll be sharing her personal journey and insights into law enforcement family challenges. Hmm. So that's going to be kind of our highlight for tonight.
Yeah. Again, we encourage everyone to stop by. It begins, you said, 6:30?
Yep, starts at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock
tonight.
Sorry,
6 o'clock. Out on Romick Parkway. I'd encourage everyone to arrive a little bit early. Parking's kind of on the street out there.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll be happy to have you. The public is welcome.
And as we mentioned, National Police Week all week long, perfect opportunity to thank a law enforcement officer and their families. You mentioned it's not just the officer that makes sacrifices. And
in many cases, it's the people behind the scenes that take the brunt, and that's our families. You know, they have to deal with our bad stories and everything else, and it can be rough on them.
Yeah. Again, Brian White is Findlay Police Department Crime Prevention Officer and President of the Fort Findlay FOP Lodge 20. Brian, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Hey, Chris, thanks for having me.
Well, concerns over mortgage rates and rising prices have been a couple of the key narratives this spring home buying season. Joining us to talk more about where the market is now and where it might be headed into the second half of the year is the president of the Ohio Association of Realtors, Allie Whitley. And Allie, the National Association of Realtors recently published its first quarter Metro Home Prices report. Share, if you could, some of the insights that jumped out at you from that report for Ohio in general and Northwest Ohio in particular.
Yes, here we are seeing a 6.1% increase over last year, from a price up to 165.5. We are seeing increases across the state as well.
And how does that compare historically? Is that about what you would expect to see for the spring? Is it a little softer than usual? Is it stronger than normal? I mean, kind of put that in perspective based on your experience.
We have had stronger increases over the last even few years, but mm-hmm. certainly this year we've had a stronger increase. And what we're seeing is that, you know, we have these rising prices. They are a direct result of insufficient housing supply that's not meeting the full demand. So what that means is we have more buyers than we have current inventory for, and that creates this increase that we see in pricing.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about that here in just a second. But one of the big questions this, you know, leads to, the big question everybody wants to know right now, and I know you've probably been asked it a million times, is this a good time to buy, or should I wait until mortgage rates start to come down?
You know what? It is still a good time to buy. It absolutely is. And that's because we do, while we intend to see, you know, some additional inventory coming into the market and maybe some interest rates starting to fall just slightly, we can't be certain of that. And if there's a house out there that you like right now, it's the time to move forward on it. We have seen interest rates in higher percentages than we do currently see. And if it continues to rise, that means less buying power for our buyers. So we absolutely encourage them. If they find the house that they like, they need to act on it quickly.
And certainly the trajectory of home prices, as we know, this is an appreciating asset. So, you know, prices expected to continue to go up. You don't want to wait for mortgage rates to come down and not be able to, you know, afford the houses as the prices go up. It's a balancing act.
Absolutely. Yeah. The National Association of Realtors expects the national median home prices continue to increase by 1.8% this year. So we are expecting additional increases just due to that lower inventory.
Right. And then, as you mentioned, this has been a longstanding question. Obviously, rate's not the only thing holding people back. It's been well documented that, as you were referencing, a shortage of homes, particularly of so-called starter homes, and those rising prices of the homes that are on the market, making it harder, particularly for first-time home buyers, to pull the trigger. How are realtors such as yourself helping clients navigate the challenges of this current housing market that we see?
Yeah, an agent who is a realtor can guide the individual through the home buying search, and give you an unbiased opinion of, you know, what is going on within the market, so that they can guide you every step of the way. If a buyer finds a home that they like, they're going to have to move very quickly, and their realtor will be able to help them through each step of the process, whether it be identifying the home, negotiating the terms of the purchase, or anything from, you know, start to finish within that transaction. And so it's really important for them to contract an agent who has a realtor to be their advocate in that process.
Also important to provide advice on what steps not to skip, or the things that are critically important, because again, folks, remember, not all that long ago, the market was so hot that people were buying homes with no contingencies, no inspections, these kind of things. Again, not a situation that especially a first-time home buyer wants to get themselves into.
You know what? Buying a home is one of the biggest purchases they're going to make in their entire life.
Yeah.
And they really need to be prepared, and they need to understand all of the, you know, benefits and risks of doing that. And having inspections help them understand that.
Yeah.
So it is important to know, you know, which contingencies they should consider. And the agent who's a realtor can help them negotiate those throughout, you know, the transaction as well.
Yeah. So looking big picture, I mean, we talk a little about some of the numbers that you're seeing for the spring. Look ahead a little bit into the latter part of the spring, into the summer, into the fall. What are the expectations for the second half of 2024?
Well, we do hope and expect that we will have some additional inventory that comes on the market, but we also see that that inventory is going to be scooped up by buyers, because we have so many buyers that are out there and interested in purchasing. So it is going to continue to be a rapid market. It is going to be a situation where buyers and sellers have to be ready for that process. And so making sure that they have an advocate on their side and a realtor that can walk them through every step of the process is, you know, extremely important. We're looking forward to a really great season, though.
Is there any indication, because these things always go in cycles and have since the beginning of time, any indication as to when you might see the, I guess, for lack of a better term, the intensity for the buyers that might ease somewhat? I mean, we're looking maybe into 2025, where at that point, inventory might catch up with demand?
Yeah, it is hard to to determine that. And truly, I don't know that inventory is going to catch up with demand right now in the very near future.
Yeah.
We're estimating that we are several million units short of what is needed across the country. And the situation that we have now is we have a very large generation in the millennials who are now all first-time home buying time. And they are continuing over the next couple of years to, you know, get involved in that first-time home purchase. So if we still have 6 million shortage and more people coming into the market, we may not see anything.
And it's been pointed out that more people are staying in their homes in retirement longer. And so some of those homes aren't being recycled into the market the way they were maybe a generation ago. So there's a lot of moving parts into this. Really interesting stuff. Again, Allie Whitley is president of the Ohio Association of Realtors. Where do we get more information, Allie?
Well, first thing you can do is visit realtor.com or call your favorite local realtor.
Allie, thanks very much for taking the time. Appreciate your insight. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Have you seen this? Authorities last week released video of a traffic stop in Sandusky County last month involving a postal service vehicle. Have you hear about this? Sandusky County deputy pulled over a mail delivery van on Route 20 near Fremont after clocking it at over 100 miles an hour in a 60 mile an hour zone. Authorities say it appears the postal worker driving the van had been racing someone in a Mustang. In a mail van. Had been racing a Mustang in a mail van. The Fremont Post Office worker, it says you're paid a $50 fine to resolve the matter, which strikes me as being exceedingly lenient. This was a 40 mile an hour over the speed limit, over 100 miles an hour. Strikes me that should be more than just a $50 fine, but that's what it says. Paid a $50 fine to resolve the matter. The Postal Service says they are investigating the incident. But I guess on the other hand, you know, she was trying to deliver the mail very quickly, but no, she was racing a Mustang in a mail van. All right, then. Elsewhere in the broken news this morning, this from the International File. Apparently, in the Kumtang Desert in China, many people get around by camel. This is the preferred method of transportation, camel riding. But it is becoming so difficult that traffic lights have now popped up to help direct traffic in the desert. The camel traffic lights show the outline of a green camel to go and a red camel to stop. It says last year, about 2,400 camels were available for riding, causing traffic jams in the desert. The lights will help allow pedestrians to cross at designated areas. It says here, spring is a very busy time in the region. The 1st of May, 10,000 visitors arrived at the Mingsha Mountain area. They're having trouble controlling all of the camels in the desert. Traffic lights. Camel traffic lights. That's, all right. let's see here. Back on this side of the pond, a New York woman is now suing Cold Stone Creamery over its pistachio ice cream. Have you heard about this? apparently this woman, the argument in the lawsuit is that the pistachio ice cream actually has pistachio flavoring, but no pistachios. Big scandal. Big scandal. No pistachios in the pistachio ice cream. Her lawyers wrote in court filings that she would not have purchased the product had she known it did not contain actual pistachios. A federal judge in Brooklyn has ruled that the class action suit can move forward. Oh, we are such a litigious society. Pistachio ice cream. I've been robbed! There are no pistachios in this pistachio ice cream. I'm going to sue. Florida man is facing more charges after police say he drove to Key West on a stolen tractor with a goal of killing two people. That was his goal. Nobody was actually harmed in this. He's riding a tractor to Key West. Investigators say 22-year-old Ethan Lane stole a tractor from a golf course he works at and went to the College of the Florida Keys last Saturday. He is accused of driving through the lobby of a dorm before ramming into a truck with a man and his daughter inside. Police say he damaged a total of three vehicles before eventually aiming the tractor at police. An officer fired multiple shots toward the suspect before arresting him. Mr. Lane facing three counts of attempted murder, aggravated assault, and, of course, grand theft for the theft of the tractor. Drove a tractor to Key West. And finally, in the broken news, you'd see weird things. Key West is just a weird place. And finally, in the broken news this morning, a man arrested for flinging a piece of salami at his wife back on New Year's Eve has been sentenced to anger management, among other things. It's part of his sentence, the anger management course. I seem to remember this story in the broken news right after New Year's Eve. Patrick Heilig, age 57, was arrested for flinging a piece of salami at his wife. He was also charged with resisting arrest. In a letter of apology, Mr. Heilig blamed his behavior on his sky-high blood pressure. Now, he says, he is back to his normal self, according to documents obtained by reporters in the case. Maybe because he's been laying off the salami. That was high sky-high blood pressure. Be the problem with the salami. He was advised to stay away from salami for his sake, as well as his blood pressure and his anger. Sends to anger management classes as part of his penance for his assault with the salami on his wife. So I don't know. There you go. That is today's broken news report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
This is Ed Glentz with OSU Extension. It's planting season. Drivers will be sharing roads with tractors and farm machinery. Be alert for slow-moving vehicles, especially on roads with limited visibility. Watch out for equipment pulling in and out of fields. Drivers and farmers, let's work together this spring to keep our roads safe and accident-free.
This message from WFIN and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. The weather forecast for the week ahead is looking, as a matter of fact, for the next week and a half. Looking really, really nice. Temperatures in the 70s, even maybe a couple of days in the 80s. And it could not come too soon. According to a new survey of 2,000 Americans, finds that the average adult needs to spend just over an hour a day outside in order to feel refreshed and recharged. 67 minutes, to be exact, is the magic number. 67 minutes outside each day in order to feel refreshed. The survey was conducted by Talker Research and commissioned by RV Share, finds that those who spent time outside, 68% say it relaxes them. 66% say time outside puts them in a better mood. 64% say it helps them clear their head. On the other hand, spending more time inside can lead to feelings of depression. Say 38%, 33% say too much time inside can lead to anxiousness. 32% say loneliness can result. You spend too much time inside. And maybe that's why in the survey, over half of Americans, 57% to be exact, are craving time spent outdoors more now than ever before. 6 in 10, 58%, nearly 6 in 10, 58% say they will get stir crazy. They spend too much time inside. And they actually put a number on that as well. 10.5 hours is the average threshold of indoor time. So basically what they're saying is for every 10.5 hours that you spend indoors, you need to spend at least 67 minutes outside in order to strike that balance. Let's see here. 2/3 of Americans say, and this is, again, kind of interesting. The survey was commissioned by RV Share. This is the RV sharing company. Some of the popular outdoor activities, things people like to do when they go outdoors, grilling, hiking, and of course, camping. So RV Share being, you know, the ones that commissioned the study, they're going to hone in on that camping thing. 67% of Americans view travel as a method of self-care. And 42% say that they need to book a trip to escape at least once every 6 months. So, bottom line it, 67 minutes outside for every 10.5 hours inside, and at least one trip to escape and get out into the great outdoors at least once every 6 months. Lauren Berner Kitzler is with us this morning from the Hancock County OSU Extension 4-H program. We were mentioning earlier, as the school year starts to wind down, this is when things start to gear up for you, camps and all kinds of things going on.
Yes, absolutely. So good morning, listeners. So yeah, you got it, Chris. On beautiful days like today, this is what helps keep us going as our 4-H season is fully underway, and it's only going to pick up at high speed from here on out. So it's very exciting what we have coming up.
So what is going on? I know already the planning and registration for summer camps is underway.
Yep, that is correct. So we are wrapping up in-school programming, and that is where we focus on STEM activities, hands-on, as well as our Chick Quest program for several county schools that we had participate in that. But as we look forward to summer, we have camp. So we have two different types of camps that are available for our 4-H members. We have Cloverbud Day Camp. Mm-hmm. Those members are our younger 4-H members that are in kindergarten, and their camp is going to be held June 6th at our OSU Extension office. And then the big junior 4-H camp, which everybody looks forward to, which is a great time of the year, is going to be held June 25th through the 29th down in St. Louisville at 4-H Camp Ohio.
Okay. So what happens at a 4-H camp? I mean, you know, for those who have never been, what makes it such a terrific thing? That
yes,
so, many
so 4-H camp, it's 5 days. So we do spend the night there. The members get the experience of staying in cabins. Mm-hmm. We host campfires every evening. You get nice homestyle meals. But not only are you staying in a cabin and building relationships with other 4-H members, you're also doing activities throughout the day, whether that is fishing, creeking, could be on a nature hike, a scavenger hunt. There's a lot of activities that allow those members just to bond outside of something that they might not normally get, you know, here in Findlay or Hancock County.
Mm-hmm. So what is the deadline to register and the process and all of that? I guess we need to lay all of that
out. Yeah, so for both camps right now, registration is open and available for those members.
Mm-hmm.
There is a fee involved, obviously, just to kind of help cover the cost of things at camp. But we are running that until June 4th, our 4-H junior camp, until June 4th, until camp is full. So normally Hancock has a very well-numbered members that attend camp, so that's wonderful. But yeah, the deadline is until June 4th.
Okay, but sooner rather than later, because there is a registration limit, there's a size limit. Okay, and how do folks go about registration?
So there's a couple ways they can do that. They can visit our website, hancock.osu.edu. All of the registration health forms, all the needed and required paperwork is on our website available, or they can stop by our office. Our hours are Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30. We have a nice camp packet all put together. The family comes in, grabs that packet. If they want to fill it out right then and there, awesome. If not, they're welcome to take it home and, again, bring it back and kind of quickly get it returned, so that way we have a spot saved for you.
And again, sooner rather than later is definitely the message with that, because it will fill up. In the meantime, what else is going on with 4-H?
So let's say you're not necessarily a camp person. That's perfectly fine. You're more of that livestock. You like that hands-on experience there. So we are actually getting a team up, and we've done this for several years now, with the University of Findlay Western Equestrian Farm out on US 68,
mm-hmm.
We are able to team up with them and host a livestock judging contest. So there'll be three different species of livestock available, goats, sheep, and cattle,
mm-hmm.
where members can get hands-on experiences of understanding the importance of livestock production from start to finish, whether it's grading the meat, looking at the animal as a whole, and kind of preparing that next step as we process all that for our customers.
So, and this is... Again, when we talk about livestock judging, normally talk about this in conjunction with the fair, in the context of the fair. This is separate from all of that.
Yep, so this is something that's totally separate, another opportunity and available for our members just to get a hands-on experience of livestock judging. They do host a contest at the fair, but this is something very separate for those members. That way, when you're at the fair involved, you get to do both things.
I would imagine also this is a good... I guess, test run for the fair, for those who may want to take something to
Definitely,
the fair?
Yep. So this county, or this program mm-hmm. is open also to non-county members. So if you have a team, I know several people from different, like Wood and Henry, Fulton, they like to participate as a team because there are livestock judging contests that happen kind of throughout the year in different aspects of different counties. But yeah, this is one that we are hosting here in Hancock to kind of help those members get prepared, good practice, good hands-on experience for the contest at the Hancock County Fair or wherever they may else travel.
Is there a registration for this as well? Or
so there is not. It's going to be held on June 11th there at the University of Findlay at the Western Equestrian Farm on 68. And those members that have interest, just show up. We will register you there on the spot. If you have a member or have a team that you'd like to be a part of, you can bring your team members together.
Okay.
We do group our teams by ages, just so you kind of are working with the members of your age.
Right.
But yeah, it is welcome to all for attending,
so,
and no fee.
Bring your cow with you and come on.
So luckily you don't have to bring any of your animals with you. We will have all of that taken care of thanks to wonderful contributors of the University of Findlay, as well as some neighboring farmers. So all you have to do is just bring yourself.
So just bring
and
yourself.
A smiling face. Yep.
Even better. Even easier. You mentioned that you are still ramping down or winding up the school programs, which is something that maybe we don't talk about enough, but there are still some things going on in the schools.
So, yep, we are just finishing up Chick West. Today is actually one of our last days that we're going to go and pick up all of those chicks that hatched. But we always do STEM throughout, you know, whether it's our Indy cars, our Sphero balls, coding, just different activities and connecting it kind of what's happening on. I have a wonderful program assistant who came up with a really neat lesson that tied our Sphero balls, which is just a robotic ball that can move through an iPad, geared it towards a lesson for the solar eclipse that happened just about a month ago. Cool. So very neat, because STEM, you can really relate it to kind of anything that's going on in today's times.
Yeah. Lots of things going on for the Hancock County 4-H program. Again, the big thing, getting signed up for camps. Now, obviously, that is priority number one. And we've got a link up for more information at our webpage. Again, Lauren Bernard Kitzler with the Hancock County OSU Extension 4-H program. Dropping by.
Yes, thank you, and have a great day.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. And remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. That, of course, goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, celebrating Older Americans Month at 50 North, Ohio's Senior Center of the Year, and you're invited out to see why. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.